Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The Beltway Blitz each and every day at noon takes you inside the locker rooms of the team that you care the most about. In that moment, we will cover the Washington Nationals, but let's kick off your blitz. Ben Standing covers the Wizards for NBCSportsWashington.com. There are a couple of Wizards items in the news, believe it or not, in May, one of which is yesterday we found out that Brad Beal did not make the All-NBA team. Three of them disseminated. He wasn't on them. I was saying to Danny yesterday, I didn't think he was ever going to make it. I didn't know why Wizards fans and media were acting like this was some foregone conclusion he was going to get the Supermax. Is he really one of the 15 best players in the NBA right now?
No, I mean, if we're just ranking guys 1 to 15, he doesn't make that list. And I definitely didn't think it was a lock. I thought it was a coin flip between him and Kemba Walker for the last spot. As somebody who covers the Wizards and knows Bradley Beal and is around him a lot, I would have voted for Bradley Beal. I suspect if I had covered the Hornets and was around Kemba Walker, who had a fantastic year as well, I probably would have leaned that way. I think it was a 50-50 call on some level. The Hornets had a better season. They weren't great, but they were better than the Wizards. And I think Kemba Walker's like season was more like start to finish was more consistent. Beal's resume really picked up, you know, in like sort of January, February, early March. Totally worthy, but I can't sit here and go he got snubbed. Kemba Walker was a totally fine choice.
Ben, I think Grant disagrees with me about this, but I think this delay, this no urgency to fill the Wizards GM role, I think it makes them look bad. And I think I've seen a couple writers, whether it's David Aldridge or Jerry Brewer, kind of saying, hey, dragging their heels doesn't look particularly good. It's uninspiring. What's the latest? What's going on? What are they thinking? What's happening here?
I think the end result will determine how ultimately bad it looks. Right now, it doesn't look good. I would agree. I mean, it's like, okay, fine. You waited up until the combine. You wanted to make a big swing at Tim Connelly for all the reasons I'm sure you guys have talked about 100 times. I get it. But then once that didn't happen and you had already interviewed Danny Ferry, Troy Weaver, Tommy Shepard, and you didn't immediately say, okay, we have our plan B, now it leads to, well, what are we doing here? Well, what are you waiting on? Which led to me to write something today on NBC Sports Washington about how, you know, in checking with people around the league, there's some sense that they've got interest in Portland's Neil O'Shea, who would be a home run hire. I don't know if they can realistically afford it, but I wrote about it because I've got a sense that he would be open to at least considering leaving Portland for reasons that I get into in the story. And then the other name that jumped out to me was the assistant GM on the Warriors, Larry Harris. Not because I've heard specifically that is in play, but if you look at the Wizards and the Pelicans, both use the same consultant to make their to bring in candidates, and almost to a name, the same people are on both lists. And Larry Harris is the one guy the Wizards have not met with. Golden State's still in the playoffs. That, you know, likely they would have to wait till Golden State's out, or, you know, wait a bit longer. So maybe that's the move. But without knowing anything, it does make it look like, hey, what are you guys doing? Time is running out here to a certain degree. The workouts are going to start soon. So, yeah, it doesn't look good. The end result will determine whether ultimately they really did have a plan or not.
Ben, thank you, buddy. Good work as always. Enjoy your Memorial Day.
You too, guys. Thanks.
See you, pal. Let's talk to Craig Ice of the Washington Nationals, I'm sure. It feels like you play for the Nationals at this point. He covers the Nationals for 106.7
The Fan. One more injury, he'll be at first base.
Let me try that again. Craig Heist is with this. He covers the Nationals for 106.7 The Fan. Heist, it feels like we're on Panda Watch, except the opposite here. Davey Martinez still has a job, as far as we know, yes?
Yes, as far as we know. And I think that's going to continue for the foreseeable future. We talked about this last time. I thought that if it went south, and I meant by more than 10 games over 500, or under 500, and more than 10 games out in the East, well, it's gotten to that point.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a situation where how much of it is really on him, how much of it, and I agree with you two, doesn't you got to have a bullpen. They don't have a bullpen right now. The ERA of that bullpen's over 7 runs a game. The two back guys in the rotation aren't getting it done right now. So, I mean, yeah, there's been a ton of injuries, but I agree with Barry Svrluga at this point, and I don't think that it's going to happen this weekend.
And I'm with you on that. My opinion really hasn't changed all year, which is if I was in charge of the Nats today, I'm not firing Davey. But I said a few weeks ago on the show, I'm waiting until the end of May. That is my benchmark, 1/3 of the season, Memorial Day. That's when I know what's what.
And well, you got also, another week.
Right. And it also now is less than a week away. It's after this Marlins series. If they were to lose 3 out of 4 to the Marlins, I think I might make the decision right then and there. You basically would have fallen behind Miami in the standings at that point. I move on from him. I wouldn't have done it yet. Here's the question, though. If they do move on from him, who do they bring in? People want Buck Showalter. That's not happening.
Buck Showalter's not happening. Joe Girardi's not happening. Yeah, could they pull Bo Porter off of the TV and make him the manager, a former guy that was here? Yeah. I think there's two guys, Chip Hale and also Randy Knorr. And Randy Knorr was my choice to get this job when Davey Johnson left. But that didn't happen. It really boils down to money, as far as I'm concerned. And I think that's been proven over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. So those two big names, I think, are out of the question.
Hi, Steve. Besides the bullpen, which is so historically bad, no conversation can begin or even be the middle or even end when you're talking about what ails this team without mentioning the bullpen a million times over. Right. It's historically bad. It's among the worst that have ever been assembled to this point in the season. But what else is the issue? I'd argue that they strike out too much as an offense. They're 4th in baseball in strikeouts, and they've got the worst strikeout-to-homer ratio of anybody in the sport. The other teams that strike out that much, Seattle, homering a ton. Milwaukee, homering a ton. The Nationals are not homering a ton,
right?
And they strike out a ton.
Right, and situational hitting is not very good. We know that. Base running has had its ups and downs, obviously. Case in point, Adam Eaton the other night, missing first base as he's heading for a double, which actually cost them a run in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But defensively, they're not as tight as everybody talked about in spring training. That was the one thing they were going to work on the most was the fundamentals. It hasn't been there.
You mentioned Eaton. What's going on with him? I mean, he had a terrible play in Colorado in right, a bad play in Milwaukee in left that cost them a couple games. He has that inexplicable play at first base last night. I mean, he has good at-bats by and large, but there was a sequence the other evening where they got to steal a base to get someone to second to try to get a game-tying hit, and he swings on the first pitch, like Little League-type stuff. I can live with this from kids you just call up from the minors. This is one of your leaders in your clubhouse. You traded 3 really good pitching prospects for. What is up with this guy?
Well, it's hard to explain right now, and I wish I had the answer for you. I don't, but I think it's a collective thing. It's just not Adam, but it's other guys, too. I mean, Dozier's had his slip-ups, obviously. It's just not a really good defensive club, and that's, to me, the one thing that shocks me maybe most.
I really like the Yan Gomes move. I'm a Yan Gomes fan.
Yeah, I am.
Great
but I'm a Kurt Suzuki fan,
yeah,
too.
Me too. I think Suzuki, they should major in him at this point until Gomes either figures it out or doesn't. He's already set his career high or tied his career high in pass balls through 29 games. Another error last night. He should have had another pass ball assigned to him, by the way, on that curveball that just went through the 5-hole like he didn't know it was coming. He's had these, I forgot what pitch I called, cross-ups a bunch of times, and he's hitting his weight at this point. What's going on there?
Good question. I mean, I'm not the player, so I can't tell you what's going on other than the fact that he's just not getting it done.
Mm.
I mean, that's the simple answer. You know, the rest of it is all of what these guys were supposed to have worked on in spring training that hasn't correlated into the season. Does it get fixed? I don't know. I heard Grant say coming in that, you know, we always say, well, it's 2 months in, things can get turned around. I'm not so sure that can happen right now. And I've seen a lot of turnarounds in baseball in the years that I've covered it. I've seen 10 game deficits made up in a month, 6 weeks. It can happen. Is it going to happen with this? There's absolutely no inclination of what's going on in the field right now that gives you any hope that that's going
to
happen.
To me, that's the key, Craig. People say you're 10 back of the Phillies, or you know, this is the record right now, and this is their record. None of that is really significant to me on May 24th as much as are you good or you're not? You know, if this the Dodgers, as an example, had like this crazy stretch where they went like 42-7 or something.
But keep in mind, that was the Dodgers last year. The Dodgers were the Nationals last year.
Understand, but I looked at that. I could have looked at that rotation and that bullpen. This is the worst bullpen any of us have ever seen before.
Yeah.
Terrible bullpens don't go on long winning streaks.
Well, time out. I see one up the road in Baltimore. It's just as bad.
It's not statistically as bad. Their ERA is not over 7.
Yeah.
They're bad, too.
Yeah, but there was a stretch a couple of weeks ago where in one night, both teams switched as to who was the worst and who was better than the worst.
That switch ain't coming anytime soon because the Nats have buried the Orioles.
It is. And it's a shame because I think there are guys, you know, when Mike Rizzo put this bullpen together, there were guys who had, if you look at last year's numbers on some of these guys, they're not all that bad.
Agreed.
So from that standpoint, where did it go wrong? Who knows?
You count on Matt Grace as much as they do. You deserve to lose games. Yeah. However, Kyle Bearclaw shouldn't be terrible.
No, he should not.
Justin Miller shouldn't be terrible. Some of the guys that they've counted on, you would think, are better than they've pitched.
And even Trevor Rosenthal, coming off injury and trying to get everything squared away over the last couple of years, he shouldn't be as bad
as he's sitting
been.
The mascot of the Nucleus on a nightly basis in Harrisburg.
Yeah, keep him away from the mascots in Harrisburg. Thank you, Heisty.
Yep.
Always good to have you on. That's our Nats reporter, Craig Heist. Next, we will give you a chance to weigh in on the Nationals on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. What is your biggest frustration with the Nationals so far this season? What do you take most issue with? How are you feeling about the team in the wake of the sweep to the Mets, the fact that they've got a decision to make on Davey Martinez in the coming few days? Does anybody think maybe this is what they need? They play the Marlins here for the next four, they get going, and they turn their season around. I'm not saying you've got delusions of grandeur that they make the playoffs. One out of the last 45 teams with their record has made the postseason, so math is against them. I figured before we get to the calls at 800-636-1067, and we want to hear from you guys and give you a chance to vent and chime in here, you and I could just go around the horn really quickly, position by position. Just the state of the union, right? And I think this is going to be pretty revealing on just how badly things have gone. You start at catcher. Kurt Suzuki's been very solid this season. He's their backup catcher. He plays second most at the position. He's hit 260, which is not great by any means. A 770 OPS for a catcher is solid. He's got five homers. But their starting catcher, who they made a trade for, Yan Gomes, has been a huge disappointment. Yesterday, a throwing error into center field led to a run. A ball that got between his legs on a breaking ball led to a run. And he's hitting 235. Very, very much underachieving.
I would say it's still an upgrade from Matt Wieters.
Well, substantially.
But it's...
And by the way, the catching position, because if you add in Suzuki,
yeah,
is a massive upgrade. But just compared to what you and I thought they were getting in Yan Gomes to what they've gotten, it's been night and day.
Gomes has been the disappointment. Suzuki's been doing what he's done the last couple of years, honestly. Is hit, you know, round 270 with occasional power and puts the ball in play. Gomes has not been good, to be frank. He had a multi-hit game the other day, and that was very nice. It jumped his average out of the 210 range.
Offensively, but compared to his defense, which is surprising, he's been fine. I mean, 235 for a catcher is, believe it or not, probably about league average, I would guess. The idea, though, that he forgets what he calls, if FP Santangelo on the telecast is right about that, it's just staggering to me. At first base, both Matt Adams and Ryan Zimmerman have been on the injured list. Adams just now came back. Because of his injury, he's given you way less than you would have anticipated this deep into the season, hitting 245 with three homers. And Ryan Zimmerman on the year, who's hurt, who had, I don't know if you'd call it a setback or not, but some pain while he was running with his plantar fascia recently. Doesn't seem like he's on the verge of returning. In 86 plate appearances before he got hurt, was hitting 213. The first base position has been nowhere near what you need it to be.
Yeah, especially in for this roster and this team, when you lose a power presence like Bryce Harper, who again isn't tearing the cover off the ball in Philadelphia, but you lose a presence, you need more out of your first base spot. You look around baseball at the teams that are, you know, knocking on the door and putting up elite run totals on a nightly basis. That first base spot's an offensive premium. And that's towards the bottom of the league in first base production.
Not to mention, this year, Matt Adams makes $4 million. So you're paying $22 million to him and Ryan Zimmerman. $22 million. And you look at, and again, a lot of it's injury, but what you've gotten out of first base. Speaking of money, you brought in Brian Dozier for $9 million at second base. Dozier, who yesterday made an inexplicable rookie-level base-running miscue, first out at third base when you're desperate. You're now the lead-taking run, by the way, in scoring position with, I believe, nobody out at the time. I tried to advance to third after getting to second on an error on a bunt attempt. You've already hit the lottery. You're turning around and turning in your winnings to try to hit the lottery again. Seven home runs for him is a good sign through 150 at-bats. He is heating up substantially. Last seven games, he's hitting .348. That's a really good sign. His OPS is up around 1,000 in the last week. But for the year, he's hitting .210. And while the defense is better than Daniel Murphy's was, he's not what he was, I'd say, 3 years ago defensively or a couple years ago when he was winning Gold Gloves.
Again, it's not what you sign up for. This was my worry, to be frank, about Dozier. And I expressed the concern before the season. Not that I was right. I still like the signing. Great dude, great clubhouse guy, kind of a baseball rat who's been around. Put up some power for you. But I said guys in their early 30s that had knee issues don't generally just have renaissances. Don't generally, you know, bounce right back to where they were. And I don't know if his knee's bugging him or not, but this just, he hasn't looked great. You know what I mean? Just even watching him go about it, doesn't look explosive, doesn't look like the guy that hit 40 homers at one point in Minnesota not that long ago. So you're going to get low average, but swinging for the fences, high strikeout totals, but the occasional bit of pop. His power is on pace for kind of what you thought. You haven't gotten the defense that you thought and some of those plays that are inexplicable, as you just mentioned.
I honestly think if the team wasn't just a fire all around him, we wouldn't be that worried about Brian Dozier's season because he's always a slow starter. Basically, he's on pace to get near 30 home runs and probably hit around 230.
Mm-hmm.
That's about what you would have hoped
for. Yeah, I would have penciled in 25 to 27 homers.
It's just they needed help, and he didn't provide it when they needed it the way that they needed him to. At shortstop, Trey Turner has played about a fifth of the season. I think he's played 11 of their nearly 50 games at this point. When he was not available, Carter Kieboom was not ready defensively at all. Wilmer Defoe cost them dearly time and time and time again. And so that position's been a problem.
Yeah, they're 26th in OPS at the shortstop spot this year in baseball.
Third base, Anthony Rendon has been marvelous, as is always the case. Hopefully he makes an all-star team. Juan Soto, as we expected, is not doing what he did in his first season. Teams make adjustments to you. Now, he had a great game yesterday, was on base four times, went 3-for-3. He's hitting .462 in his last seven games, .300 in his last 15. I really do believe he's kind of snapped out of his early season slumber. He's up to .270. But that said, while he's been really good, not a problem by any means, as we expected, he's kind of come back to the pack a little bit after a crazy rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Robles is both awe-inspiring and infuriating. He's going to hit home runs and steal bases, 17 combined in those two categories to lead the team. He's the best combination of power and speed they have. He's only 22 years old, but he never hits a cutoff man. Doesn't throw to the right base sometimes.
Strikes out a ton.
Gets struck out a lot in big spots. And maybe more important than anything else, just seems mentally like he does not have a high baseball IQ and the game hasn't slowed down for him yet. And then finally, you go to Adam Eaton in right field. And I mentioned the errors, the miscues, not stepping on first base yesterday. He's generally going to have a good at bat. He's hitting in the 270s, showing a little bit of power. He's on pace to go out and hit a dozen, 13 home runs this year. But if you're talking about has he been what you expected or worse, the answer is worse. So of the places where you feel really good right now about the seasons that guys are having, it's Soto in left, Rendon in third. You haven't gotten enough from short. You haven't gotten enough from second. You haven't gotten enough from first. You've had a disappointing half of your catching situation, although it's upgraded. And your right field situation's a problem. And by the way, the lineup is probably the strength of the team right now.
Relative to everything else, yeah.
Because in the rotation, you've got three starters and then two spots that are big, big issues. And in the bullpen, Doolittle, sans one outing, has been able to do his job and has been trustworthy. Bearclaw, A to F scale, a D. Grace, F. Suero, D. Sip, D-. Ross, F. McGowan, one appearance. Rainey, not enough, incomplete, couple outings. Guerra, one appearance. I mean, three of your relievers in your bullpen right now have basically been here for less than a week, just to give you an idea of how badly they're searching for help.
Yeah, to go to Eaton, what's going on with him is an epidemic of the whole roster. I touched on it with Craig Hyster in the Blitz, but they strike out way too much. And this team was designed not to do that. Now, a lot of that was injuries, especially early on, and you know, we know the score there, but guys that got him Eaton, he's got his career worst strikeout to walk ratio. He's striking out at a higher rate than he ever has in his whole career. He's on pace for a career high. That's not him. That tells you something isn't going according to plan with him. Yes, he gives you good at bat. He'll go deep into counts, but he's a put the ball in play guy. There's a reason they gave up three prospects for that dude. They wanted him to be the Adam Eaton that works counts, walks a lot, puts the ball in play, and isn't striking out. He's striking out a career high rate. In addition to some inexplicably bizarre decisions or non-plays that we're used to him making in right field. This was a guy that was beyond a plus defender, gold glove caliber in right field just a couple of seasons ago. Now all of a sudden it's like he's a question mark, which something's going on there.
I thought when Bryce Harper, who was bad in right field, left last year, mm-hmm. they would suddenly, I didn't think they'd get elite defense post-knee injury for Adam Eaton. But
I thought plus.
Yeah, they at least very average. You know, and I think they've been below that again this year, and I'm not sure they've gotten any better defensively than last year when Bryce was running around, which is shocking. 800-636-1067. Your thoughts on the Nats as their season is coming apart at the seams. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. I don't know what it says about us, but you can make bets today on whether or not Drake is going to be removed from Game 6 by security. Will the NBA publicly warn him about his on-court behavior?
Oh, no.
Will the NBA on TNT staff say Drake during the halftime show?
Man, Drake need to sit in his chair. He'd tear it down. That's annoying to me.
Yes, they're going to say Drake 1,000 times.
Your boy Charles Barkley made me LOL yesterday.
He's funny.
He is actually funny.
Well, have you noticed? Sorry, go ahead. Say your thing.
Well, he's not completely for me. Like, I like information and analysis. I could do away with, like, all the funny clown characters on these shows. But he is pretty funny. He said yesterday, he goes, you could do the impression. I can't. I'll translate it. He basically said, if this was me, I would tell my teammate, throw the ball out of bounds, like, at a point of the game that isn't that important, I guess. And I would go clean Drake's clock. I would just lay his ass out. I thought it was, like, the funniest thing in the world. I would land right on and be like, oh, dude, are you okay? I'm so sorry. Like, what can he do?
Yeah, what's he going to do?
I'm going to crush him.
You want to sit up front, but you're at risk of, beware of falling rocks. But I was going to ask if you'd noticed that Shaq has now turned into, like, when people used to do impressions of Shaq, right? You used to do that, and everyone kind of knew what you were doing. He's getting raspier. I can't understand him without the volume up super high on my television set.
I've never been
able
to.
The levels that I have to go to are uncomfortable because then Ernie gets back in. Ernie's doing his Ernie, and it's like way too loud. Like, Kenny is sitting at the table, and he's very excited. He's doing this. I'm like, well, I don't know. What are you saying?
Shaq in broadcasting never made sense to me. He whispers. He's got the deepest voice ever. I have no idea most of the time what he's talking about.
George Clooney, my name is Matt. Azerbaijan, didgeridoo.
I'm like, I don't know what he's doing.
Did you watch the game last night at all?
Oh, yeah.
So there was a great moment in Milwaukee where David Bakhtiari was on camera, and they put him on the big screen chugging beers, Packers offensive lineman. So he chugs back-to-back beers, and then he points back over to Aaron Rodgers, who sits courtside because he's a minority owner of the Bucks, and Rodgers goes to chug his beer, and 8 seconds of, like,
gentle
basically
sips.
Just calmly, like, trying to sip it as if he's never had a beer before.
And he also does the give me a minute, which is
like,
just not great.
Well, I thought it was kind of funny because he knew it was embarrassing. So he can't get his beer down, so he stops. He just, like, puts the rest of it down on the floor. And then he goes back to Bakhtiari, who chugs a third beer immediately. He's a machine. And then Christian Yelich is sitting next to him, the Brewers MVP, and he stands up and everyone goes crazy, and he chugs a beer, although he spilled a little bit on his chest. Then a video came out, by the way, of Matt Stafford, who looks, he's always fat-faced Matt Stafford. He always looks like he's on the verge of 300 pounds. He's watching the game on TV.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, who I think just had her surgery, and I hope everything's okay with her and that family.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think she posted it on Instagram. If not, it was someone else related to him, his last name, but I didn't know where it came from. But the video was him like watching that and seeing Rodgers not be able to drink his beer. So he's at a restaurant and he just pounds this huge glass
of beer.
Yeah,
it's one of those tall, the super tall thin
glasses,
right? Like
something you get at Yard House.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And he just throws it down in the span of a half second. You might not be able to win the NFC North over Aaron Rodgers, but you can outdrink him.
Yeah, you're not going to have a running game worth a damn, but you can knock a beer down.
Let's get to your biggest gripes with the Nats. You've been waiting patiently. Chris is in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, man.
My biggest gripe, and I think you are in some ways taking him to task today, if not actually calling him out, but Rizzo has gotten a free pass in this town for the better part of a decade, rightfully so for some of the moves that he's made. But when I look at the tail of the tape, I see a lot more moves that have failed than those that have succeeded. And some of the moves that he gets credit for, honestly, I think most people with any baseball sense would have made. I mean, you didn't need a GM to draft Strasburg, Harper, or Rendon, and it didn't take a genius to sign Max Scherzer. It just took a truckload of money. So he's getting credit for a lot of these really super popular moves, but they were kind of obvious in my opinion. Meanwhile, he's made so many terrible decisions with regards to the bullpen, including last year trading away a couple of really valuable players for what seemed to be petty grievances. Okay. And another thing that has really hampered this team for the last couple of years is his failure to realize that Ryan Zimmerman's career is basically over. And they have not, as you guys.
Well, what's he supposed to do about that, though?
I mean, just look, teams have players that sit and don't play and earn huge paychecks all the time because they need to move on. They seem either he or the learners seem unwilling to do that. They should have committed real resources and told Zimmerman he is no longer guaranteed the starting position because he's injured too often. And let's just face it, his skills are declining.
I just don't know financially when you're spending $18 million on a first baseman, if you can go spend what it would have taken, say $10 or $12 million to bring in a starting caliber first baseman at that spot. I mean, there's a lot of points in the call that I think were correct, for the record. I think you make a lot of good points. Some of them I disagree with. I would disagree that the balance sheet is more negative than positive. You don't win 96, 95, 97 games in a four-year stretch. You don't go over 500 every year since 2011
mm-hmm.
If you're doing things that are more wrong than right. There's a lot more Matt caps for Wilson Ramos and Steve Lombardozzi for Doug Fister and moves like Sean Doolittle, when they went and got him and Madsen to fix the bullpen in season.
Yeah, Souza basically for Joe Ross and Trey Turner.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. Some of the deals he's made, he's widely considered one of the best trading GMs in baseball.
Now, that said... Okay, go ahead, please.
Well, I'll just say that said, there absolutely, this past calendar year, as well as kind of across the board, been plenty of things you can question. But I think you may forget over the years the number of times they flipped Alex Meyer, who never got to the big leagues and pitched well, for Denard Span.
The criticisms you can levy, and there are some legitimate ones, his philosophy and actions on bullpen construction, I think, are spotted, I would say. I think that's a perfectly fair criticism. Remember, he's always kind of, we'll find guys in stream. We'll figure it out. You've always got to give up something to go get your Ryan Madsen and Doolittle. You've always got to go get your Soriano, your Papelbon, your Melanson, et cetera, and it's cost them. So that's, I think, perfectly legitimate. But I think where Chris's criticism really should be headed towards is the learners, honestly. Because you think Mike Rizzo, if you said, hey, Mike, you can spend $20 million on a first baseman, go do it. Like, if he had unlimited purse strings, I bet you he would have upgraded or changed or done something else instead of tried to, you know, build around the existing payroll. I think the number of times where that we sort of forget about this, where Mike has gone, hey, Mark and Ted, you can't offer the manager this. You can't put this offer in front of Bud Black. Hey, guys, it's going to look bad if we let Dusty Baker go. Hey, guys, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. And they've done it their way. I think we forget about a lot of those times.
I think so, too. And look, he said, I think Rizzo gets a free pass. I get a bunch of people on Twitter that bring up Mike Rizzo a lot. I'm not sure that he gets a free pass. I think it's complicated when you discuss Rizzo because They've done a really good job as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
They have been one of the five most successful teams in baseball over basically 6 years. They have been one of the envies of the sport in terms of their prospect development and the guys that they've graduated, the Sotoses and the Robleses that come internationally thanks to Johnny DePuglia and Rizzo's staff. You know, guys like Carter Kieboom, who's going to be a very good major leaguer. You've seen it with Turner. You've seen it with their scouting department when they go out and they make some of these trades for guys that are lesser liked in other organizations. Doesn't mean that he's perfect. Doesn't mean that he's good at building bullpens. He obviously has proven that that is a bugaboo for him. I guess what I would ask is when you say, well, nobody takes him to task, I don't know what people want just to say, Mike Rizzo didn't have a good offseason. Like, I got people in my timeline all the time that say, fire Mike Rizzo.
Yeah, if you want me to come in here and say he stinks, you're not getting that from
me. Yeah, that's a joke.
I don't agree with it.
If you're saying he deserves to be out of a job, just know that you're wrong. And you're allowed to be wrong. You're allowed to have an opinion, but you're loud wrong. He's one of the better GMs in baseball. They build a really good team almost every year. If he's out of a job, he'll be out of a job for 5 seconds. Davey Martinez might not be a manager again ever in Major League Baseball. Now, they could get rid of like Brian Dozier or some guys right now, and they'd probably latch on, but I don't know that they'd start again. Mike Rizzo would be running a first division team again as soon as there was an opening. People around baseball love him. Maybe they're all wrong and our callers are right, you know, to some extent, but that's facetious. They're not. If you're saying that he needs to be fired. Now, if your point is as simple as everyone talks about Mike Rizzo like he's above reproach and he does everything right and they've never won a playoff series and he deserves some blame for what's going on right now, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All those things are accurate and facts. But if you're trying to tell me fire this guy and get another GM,
no way.
Get out of here with that. That's ridiculous. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're getting some good calls on the Nationals. Really, today, therapeutic, hopefully, for you guys in some way, has been good for us, I know. We watch these games like you do, 3 hours a night, every single pitch invested, living and dying. It's been a lot of dying lately. And it's the same game over and over and over again. The Nats either take the early lead or don't. They scratch and they claw, and at some point, they're right in the thick of things. They look like they're coming back, or they did. They've got a late lead, or they're right in the game, and then their bullpen gives them no chance, and along the way, there's one or two utterly baffling, inexplicably preposterous, outrageously amateur things that happen by players that know better. And it seems like day in and day out, it's the exact same story. 800-636-1067, we're asking you for what's frustrated you most about the club, just letting you kind of air your grievances here. Tim's in Rockville. What's up, buddy?
Yes, hi. Good afternoon.
Hey, buddy.
I just want to say, given the fact that we're stuck with the players we have, I think the on-the-field situations, the managing the on-field, for instance, if you have a person on first and third with one out, and this happened yesterday, Robles was on first, you have several options to stay out of the double play. You can either bunt, and then the Mets have to decide which way they're going to go with it. You can have Robles steal, and there might be indifference. The person on third can come home on several different occasions. He allowed the guy to hit right into a double play. So that has happened. That type of thing has happened a number of times down through this losing streak. And I would also say he seems to leave a relief pitcher in too long. I understand we don't have any relief pitchers, but the relief pitcher – once Sobrero let a guy on base, the way it's been going, I would have taken the ball out of his hand and say, get the heck out of here.
Well, there's that domino effect. And thank you for the call. That
once
does,
who did what?
Forget the specific example.
I'm just wondering which
he was
situation.
Talking Suero, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, but yesterday. Okay.
What happens all the time is a guy does something good in a bullpen that's been awful, right? Tanner Rainey threw well on Monday. Was in the big leagues Monday afternoon for the first time, this year. So he has one good inning. So next thing you know, he's got the highest leverage spot. Or Matt Grace comes in and gets two batters, so he gets to start the next inning, and lo and behold, all hell breaks loose. Or whatever it is. So you're always chasing your tail in that way when you're trying to manage this terrible bullpen. It's not Davey Martinez's fault that they can't get outs at all, and there are no good answers there. But the one thing that I would say is you've got to have more than, well, he threw two good pitches in a row, so therefore he's got two more innings in him, or whatever it is, right? Like, do more of what you did the other night where Joe Ross gets the out against the righty, and even though Joe Ross is mad he's coming out of the game, let him be mad sitting down there with his 8 ERA.
You know how many people were mad about that?
Yeah.
That he took Joe Ross out of the game too soon, and they can't believe he did that? And how do you only let him throw a couple pitches? If something doesn't work, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what it was. And nothing works with this bullpen.
Nothing.
Think about that. I mean, really, every time your bullpen blows a game, the buttons you touched were incorrect and you were wrong. When your bullpen makes you wrong almost every single day, you're going to look really bad. His bullpen makes him wrong more than any bullpen I've ever seen before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you he does everything right, but whatever he does that is right, we wouldn't know it because his bullpen never makes him look good. Chris in Lovettsville.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call. It's so frustrating. You just, every night, you just want to go, because you don't know where to aim the fire hose, because everywhere is a problem.
It's a great line.
You know, no one's playing to the back of their baseball card, as Mike Rizzo likes to say. And I feel like because of that, even though you all have stated it's not going to really solve the problem, I think just because it's your only thing that can affect everyone, you might have to look at making a change in manager. You mentioned, you know, Suzuki's been outperforming, I think, Gomes. Maybe you try to, you know, make him the default catcher. But it's problems everywhere. And I feel like if you're just, you have to do something, or you just sort of throw up your hands and say, season lost, oh well.
Well, I think that's all happening here as we go. I mean, that might be a few weeks away, but you mentioned Davey. This Marlins series could be his last stand, so to speak. Let's play a quick game called Are They Playing to the Back of Their Baseball Card? I'll name the player. You say yes or no.
All right, let's go for it.
Soto.
We don't have much of a baseball card, but I'd say no just yet.
Robles.
Yeah.
Eaton.
No.
Rendon.
Yes.
Turner.
Yes.
No, because he wasn't healthy at all.
Okay.
Dozier.
No.
No. Adams.
No.
No. Zimmerman.
No.
No. Gomes.
Nope.
Suzuki.
Yes.
Scherzer.
Advanced stats, yes. I'll say yes.
Strasburg.
Yes.
Corbin.
Yes.
Hellickson.
Nope.
Sanchez.
Nope.
Doolittle.
Yes.
Bearclaw.
No.
Grace.
Nope.
Suero.
Nope.
Sip.
Nope.
Ross.
Nope.
I mean, there's a lot more no's than yes.
Way more no's.
Bernie and Aldi, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. Yeah, I've followed, like, along with the last couple of callers. My wife and I, we are such big fans that I'm getting a lot of earlier night sleeps, because as soon as they bring the bullpen in, we look at each other and said, I can't tell you, we're going to bed. We're going to bed. But to me, so I'm a longtime baseball guy, it's all about the fundamentals. The bullpen is what it is. They got to make some changes. But the bullpen, knowing that they can't even hold a glass of water, we need to get the fundamentals down so that we're not giving up the stupid run here or there. I mean, you know, base running mistakes, missing the cutoff man, really no quality at bats. I forget what game it was last week. I think it was against the Cubs. We had an inning where every one of our batters swung at the first pitch. And I'm sitting like, is Davey not saying anything to these guys?
I mean, but what do you say? We talk about this all the time. They know. If no disrespect to you, because you sound like a really smart baseball fan, and I'm glad you called. If you know, they know. If I know, they know. But
and his
point was really, really true, though. Point was, I think, really good, which was basically the margin for error that you don't have right now. There is no luxury for that Eaton mistake or the Dozier base running mistake when your bullpen's going to give up four runs before the end of the day.
Houston can have that happen because they're going to score 10 runs.
Right.
You know, but
Drew and Reston.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm in.
Good.
Thanks for the Nats therapy session.
Yeah, we needed it today, didn't we?
A lot of good points brought up today, but one I wanted to bring up was the lack of command or respect or whatever description you want to use that Davey doesn't appear to have in the locker room, the snowball effect that's had. And lack of focus or fundamentals break down on a daily basis. That's been discussed. I think we've seen a large sample size to see that. But if you point back last year to the Sean Kelly and Ed Kinsler situation, where Mike Rizzo has to come in and be the authoritative figure that says, respect my manager, look at the snowball. Maybe that forces Rizzo to sign a Brian Dozier, where maybe there's a more talented guy out there. There were a lot of second baseman free agents that you don't have to worry about, where if you had an authoritative figure in the locker room, a Buck Showalter, Dusty Baker, and trust me, I was ready to move on with Dusty from those egregious playoff series.
And that's one thing that's interesting, Drew, is the revisionist history on Dusty. I was talking about this with some people online yesterday, and the number of texts I got from people in and around baseball was pretty funny that were kind of saying, it really is amazing how we now view his time here and how different it is from the last couple days when he was here, when it, you know, one kind of decision after another in the playoffs made you scratch your head. But the bottom line is they got worse at manager. And that's what happened.
They did. Yeah, they did.
As Barry said on our show, when you move on from someone and the guy that you bring in is worse at his job, you go back and you say, well, if we would have kept the other guy, we'd have been better off. That's probably true. To me, it doesn't mean that they shouldn't have moved on. I think that's the disconnect, is moving on from Dusty's not the problem. What you did thereafter, if you trade in a car because the car's not the right car for you and your next car has a bunch of engine problems, you don't say, we shouldn't have traded in that other car that we couldn't rely on to get me to work.
Well, think about it like...
just pick the wrong car.
Think about it like Deal or No Deal, that game show where you got a suitcase, you trade in different suitcases. They went for the $1 million. They went for the ultimate prize. They
right.
went for, let's get over the hump. And everyone's saying, you shouldn't have given up the $30,000 you had right there. It's easy to say in retrospect. But the gamble is to try to win a title.
That's a
reasonable process, honestly.
They had the $30,000 that they could go home with, or they could go home with zero and try to win $1 million.
They tried to win $1 million. And if it's a...
They looked at Dusty and they said, wait a second. It's been 16 years since this guy has had a team win a playoff series. He's lost 10 straight games where his teams have had a chance to clinch. And in every one of those games, you can go through and find things he did wrong. And then you had a list of 30 things he did that were preposterous in two playoff series. And he had the weird snafu with Steven Strasburg and the damp weather and the mold in hotels, which wasn't a thing, and probably resulted in a PR director getting fired, and all the things that happened. And they decided, you know what, we're going to go in a different direction because this guy, oh, by the way, wants to double his salary and we need to now commit to him for the next 2 or 3 years. No, we're not going to do that. That doesn't mean that's a bad decision. It just means maybe you made the wrong one when you hired Davey Martinez.
You, me, and everybody listening with a mortgage, we're taking 30 grand because we know what the odds are. This is a different animal. Pro sports is different. You are trying to win a title. One team gets the prize. Everybody else just eats a bag of you know what. So it's a reasonable thing to try to get someone to get you over the hump. Turns out they swung and missed. That's a very reasonable conversation.
Rick Snyder, columnist, thefandc.com. Not Rick Scherzer or Rick Rizzo or Rick Martinez, but Rick Snyder will join us next on Rick.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.